Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Whoops. Yeah, more classified material found in Biden's garage, Delaware garage. Welcome to the Hagman Report for today, Thursday, January 12th, 2023. I'm Doug Hagman, your host. With me, two just incredibly fascinating and great brothers in God, Jamie Walden, Omega Dynamics, and Steve Quayle from Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com, gen6.com, qfiles.tv. I'm telling you, all of the program links for today will be in the episode description box at hagmanreport.com. That's hagmanreport.com. Of course, there, and also, you know, Brian Kemp taking off to Davos. You got to ask yourself why Georgia Republican Brian Kemp is meeting with the globalists in Davos. Just why? You know the answer to that question. Look, I'm not going to take any time away from my guests. I'm going to turn it right over to Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com, and then, of course, bring Jamie Walden in as well. Steve?
Well, Doug, and welcome, greetings to everybody. It's a privilege to have Jamie Walden back on this Thursday, following up last week's show. There's so many misconceptions in, quote, the conservative world. What does that mean anymore? The political world, the spiritual world, and the deception that's in the Christian church. And Jamie is a warrior, U.S. Marine. He spent years talking, speaking to men about rising up and being the men that God wants them to be, that there need to be. But I asked Jamie to deal with, if I could call it, almost the fortress mentality of old guys with guns and safes, somehow believing that they understand the tactics of modern warfare, and then put that into a context. I'm turning it right over to Jamie, of the judgment of God upon the United States. We are seeing insanity. We are seeing absolute ludicrous behavior on people that prior would have been, they would have carted the politicos off the stage in straitjackets. And ladies and gentlemen, this is something coming from a warrior who was trained in all the aspects of how to fight a terrorist, how to fight, you know, basically attacks upon their fixed positions, how to attack fixed positions. But the position that we're going to deal with, and I'm turning it right over to you, Jamie, is the intractable position of the unreasonableness of Christians who are, let's say this, at least claiming to be real ones, not getting the fact that the United States of America is under divine judgment. And we will have to fight for our families, fight for our lives. I'm talking literally. But one thing that people have got to understand is that Jamie is how should I say this, capable of framing two worlds at once. Those of us who haven't been in the military, Doug and I haven't, but he has. So, Jamie, nice to have you back. And thank you for taking your stand for Jesus. And I want to share something. I've never heard you in all the time I've known you not stand up for Jesus. So take it. We're here to listen to you today.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a tall order. But thanks for having me on, Doug and Steve. It's good to be with you guys again. And, you know, as you were even framing out that question, Steve, it's interesting because when you look at the preponderance of the evidence, or we'll say the totality, right, of Genesis to Revelation, the central theme of the spirit of the end of the age is faulty self-actualization. It's faulty self-actualization among the people, and then it's faulty self-actualization of the church, right? So you have the people who say they're wealthy and in need of nothing. You have the church who says they're wealthy and in need of nothing. You have the people saying, where is this God of judgment, right? You have Mystery Babylon shaking their fists at the heavens and say, I'll never be a widow. I'll never see harm, right? You have the daughter of Babylon. This is not Babylon itself in Jeremiah 50 and 51, right? And there's even language leading to that in Nahum, and also Ezekiel 38 and 39, where it's the same hubris, this Nimrodian hubris, I call it, or this Neo-Babylonian blindness, which with such faulty self-actualization that literally believes that it is utterly immune from the justice and the judgment and the wrath of God. They deny his holiness. They strikingly remove all fear from the Lord from their minds. This is the Christians and the unbelieving world. And they have no clue all the things that he is prescribed for exactly that particular posture. So we see that played out in two different parallel realms, right? We see it domestically with the faulty hubris of the Americana, right? This is like the Ephraim, like Ephraim, right? Ephraim, though armed with a bow, turned back on the day of battle. The Americana mentality is so self-deceived with faulty self-actualizations, just like Ephraim was. Ephraim were the descendants of Joshua. They thought they could ride on the curtails of Joshua's conquest of Canaan, and of those who stood faithfully. Joshua and Caleb took Canaan. They were a warrior culture. They were sold out. They totally walked in the fear of the Lord and the power of the Lord and by the power of his spirit, and they did great exploits. And they now, years later, said, yeah, that's still my heritage. That's my parentage. So we can just go out to war and rah, 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 you know, USA, patriotism, come and take my guns from my cold dead hands, thinking they can ride on the coattails of Joshua. All the while, it says they are like women in your midst. The trumpet gets blown and they do not come out. They won't even leave their fortifications, Jeremiah 51. They have no gusto left in them whatsoever. So here you have this American bravado that won't even go to a school board meeting when their children are being sexualized by drag queens, when their elections are being stolen from them in real time, when this just Luciferian governmental overreach is taking place in real time. They won't stand up for that, but yet in their faulty self-actualization, they think that somehow when their door is being kicked in, either by UN troops or Chinese troops or DHS troops or whatever it is, that all of a sudden they're going to rise to the challenge and have this super duper human-like faith and strength to just take the fight to the enemy. It just isn't going to happen. I used to run triathlons till my knees went to crap, right? I used to be a triathlete. And like, I can tell you, you cannot go from the couch to run in a triathlon just because you think you can do that. It ain't going to happen in real time. And the same thing is not going to happen in real time for what's coming on this nation. So when you look at the faulty hubris of the American right, the conservative base is about the most Pollyanna, you know, faulty self-actualized group of people in America. The left, they know exactly who they are and what they are, what they're capable of and where they're going. And they're actually only ever learning and adapting. They are high tacticianers. Everybody tracking. The Antifa, the BLM, the Democrats, the Luciferian Elite, the Davos Group, the League of 300, the Club of Rome, and so on. They are adept at stratagem and military tactics, and they're constantly learning and refining. But the conservative right base is the total opposite. They're say nothings and do nothings, keyboard warriors with their QAnon flags waving overhead, waiting for this amazing white hat plan to unfold. And the Christians are even worse than them. And what's interesting, again, when you look at it biblically, that is the central theme and indicator of the spirit of the last age. The complacency, the apathy, the faulty self-actualization, and the narcissism. That is the central theme of everybody in the last age. And in particular, to the posture of Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon, Neo-Babylon, the daughter of Babylon. Right, it's different than the original, but it's similar in all of its in all of its genetic makeup. But its phenotypic expression is going to be a little bit different than its genomic expression, right? And so you have this coming into full scale right now. I hear things like even the mocking and scoffing of, you know, the true legitimate threat of the Russian and Chinese kinetic invasion of the U.S. mainland. We were talking off air. It's closer than what you could ever imagine. It's going down in real time, and it will not be turned back, no matter how much you think you're owed, because America has sent out more missionaries than any other country. Like, I've heard all these same quips over and over and over again. And the governmental overreach and the imposition of full-on tyranny with the social credit score based with the security forces and the intelligence apparatus and the metadata mining and the threat fusion centers in the U.S. homeland, is not something to mock and scoff at either. So when you hear this language, like, let them come and take it, or let them do this, or blah, and I'm like, just so people know, for a guy like me, a guy like Wrecker, other guys that we're all familiar with, that we have mutual friends of, guys like us, you don't understand how we're trained. And we say, thank you for the invite, because we were bored. We'll be there in about 5 minutes, and we will come take it from your hands. I've been oppositional forces for SWAT training, you know, mount operations, urban warfare training. I've done jungle warfare training, mountain warfare training, cold weather mountain warfare training. I've been an assault climber for the Marine Corps. I've been a national instructor for immediate action drills for all kinds of different layers of direct action stuff and reconnaissance based stuff. And I can tell you what, to even as trained to my level, which is nothing compared to other guys that are the tier one guys, but like, I'm a scrub compared to them, just so everybody knows. But when you get hit by guys that are trained, when you get cordoned and searched by guys that are trained, when you have technological superiority, when you have firepower superiority, when you have logistical and signals intel and human intel superiority, you cannot stop what is coming through your door. And again, I don't care if that's a domestic issue or an international issue with what's coming in from the Chinese and the Russian threat.
Jamie, if I can ask you, I'm a pissed off, grouchy old guy with a gun. Okay. Now, having said that, look, I know what I'm up against, but can we win on the numbers? What if we had a whole bunch of us like me? Okay, even though you guys are like the most elite trained, don't we have a chance on the numbers alone? Look, maybe I'm going to go out in a blaze of bullets and bombs and whatever else you guys got, but at least I'm going to take some of you with me, and that's going to,
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's a great question, Doug. And actually, I would say to that, unequivocally, forgive me, listeners, unequivocally, no, the numbers don't matter. The numbers don't matter because of the force multipliers that we contain within us. Let me give you an analogy. Took Baghdad. I was up there for the march up, 2003, actually taking Baghdad, took Baghdad University, took down Tariq Aziz's, palace and all this, hit a couple strategic objectives in Baghdad. We sat on it for a little while, actually a little quote unquote claim to fame, it doesn't matter, but people enjoy it as I was laid in with Chris Kyle on a roof from Team 3 for a couple hours one day, shooting across the Euphrates River and stuff like that, right? The American sniper guy. And so we did stuff there. We sat on that objective for a little bit, and then we retrograded to Anajaf. Anajaf, Iraq, is the second holiest city in all of Iraq. Is a city of approximately 2 million. The numbers vary depending on the population data that you look at. A city of 2 million. Our battalion, which is roughly 1,200 Marines and a little bit of logistical support, second holiest city. They knew we were coming because we had just taken Baghdad. It was ran by al-Sadr, right? And all these Ba'athist Party, insurgencies. We took that city of 2 million, second holiest city, knowing we were coming, with 1,200 Marines and under 45 minutes with not one shot fired. So when I say people don't understand what we're capable of, they don't understand what we're capable of. And I was in the little regional capital of that place, deposing the elected government at that time and installing a new government puppet regime, walking around with little bags of cash, paying off the local police. This is in the first hours of being there. Not one shot fired. Second holiest city in all Iraq. They knew we were coming, and it was an insurgent stronghold. So when I say the numbers don't matter, they really don't matter.
All right. And Steve, forgive me but for asking this, but why was no shot fired? Because I would think that there would be, insurgents saying, look, we're not going to take this crap.
The old guys, Doug, with bad attitudes and at least a magazine full of rounds.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, somebody's going to fire a shot, right? I mean, I would think.
You would think so, but here's what it is that people don't understand. This even goes down to local law enforcement, federal law enforcement, or whatever, is violence of action. I mean, we are trained to constantly only operate from this mentality of violence of action wins the day. Violence of action is so overwhelming that it rocks your senses. It rocks your ability to coordinate and consolidate. It rocks your ability to even function. Even if you were to be sitting there with a gun in your hand, the violence of action that we impose is so intense. Like I said, I've been opt for SWAT teams, right? Sitting in a corner in the fatal funnel, waiting for the other guys I'm training with to breach the door, sitting with airsoft or right, like simulation rounds or whatever, and sitting there knowing they're coming because we're training, obviously, and they still overwhelm me before I'm able to get a shot off through a door. That, I mean, and that's why people don't understand the capabilities and the competencies of guys that are trained at that level. Now, generally, like with the issue of Anajaf is that what happened is then there was a lull of about 6 months where we had basically secured total peace, but then they start regrouping, right? Then here comes the insurgency. They start regrouping. They study your tactics. They study your maneuvers. They study how you function. They're seeing your comings and goings, how you're hard targeting or you're soft target on your patrols. You know, they're looking at your critical infrastructure and your supply chains. And then they start hitting you a little bit at a time as you're on patrols. So anyways, this is all relevant to the Chinese-Russian question, not question, assurance. The Chinese-Russian assurance of what's coming on the U.S. mainland. We touched on it last week when we talked about it for a little bit, but what people don't understand is the depth and the breadth and the violence with which an opposing nation can come against a nation like the United States of America. But for me, what is always the nail in the coffin isn't just, you know, my limited military analysis, super limited compared to other. There's guys that are so more far advanced in this realm than I could ever consider being. But it's the biblical worldview with which I look at it. When I look at the fall of mystery of Babylon, go through, listeners, and read Jeremiah 50 and 51. It is everything. It is a coordinate search. It is an infiltration of the military. It's a shutting down of the military. It's a pre-weakening of the military where they're like women and they won't even come out and fight. They won't leave their installations. It's all the military installations are seized in a moment. The farmland and their granaries and their ability to produce food are seized in a moment. The treasuries and their financial systems are broken open and they are surrounded. And even a unique particular aspect is it says, coming against this mystery Babylon, daughter of Babylon, is that even when this thing goes down, and it says in Jeremiah, as it does in Ezekiel, as it does in Revelation, suddenly in an instant, in a single hour, the Lord sets the ambush. See, this is what people have to consider. This isn't just about China or Russia and what their competencies are. It's that the Lord says he puts a spirit of a destroyer in them. God is equipping them to carry out his judgment against a wicked nation like the United States of America. And they come in and it is violence of action in a single day, in a single hour. It's a done deal. And so that's why all these different layers of the asymmetric warfare that are going on right now in real time are significant. This is why Trudeau, you know, championing China and then passing his Foreign Investments Protection Act is a big deal, saying China without any local authorities ever being made known, China is allowed legally by the Trudeau administration to position troops inside China to protect their investments. This is why on I think it's Spring Island or Water Spring Island, Fresh Spring Island, right off of Vancouver, there are uniformed Chinese troops and what some intel has come out is armor brigade stage. This is why you have the staging areas in Venezuela and even off of some of the Caribbean islands with Russian strategic nuclear bombers and ever assets. This is why they have been training camps found within 8 miles of the southern U.S. border. If people think the border crisis and all the drama surrounding the border was about Central and South American immigrants coming over, you're dead wrong. It had nothing to do with that. And that's why the virulent hatred, the vileness towards Trump was such a big deal, is because he was going to put a roadblock in the way of advancing troops, not immigrants. And now what do you have? Lay down all the walls, let them wide open. We're ready for you. We've been bought and paid for. When the time comes, come on in. And so again, he goes layer after layer after layer, the nature of this asymmetric warfare. But unfortunately, that faulty self-actualization of the American populace, hubristic nature of the American populace is exactly why it's coming. It is a self-fulfilling prophecy because of the arrogancy. Over and over and over again, Mystery Babylon is referred to as the arrogant one, the arrogant one, the arrogant one, who sits in luxury and says, I'll never be a widow. I'll never see sorrow. It's like, do your worst. I'm good to go. And just like it was in the days of Noah, and as it was in the days of Lot, there's layers, right? Stephen and I could probably talk of this ad nauseum. There's layers to the days of Noah, and there's layers to the days of Lot that are all embedded within those statements. But one of the attributes of the days of Noah and the days of Lot was their hubris until it happened instantly. Until it happened instantly. It was business as usual till it wasn't business as usual. It was business as usual till the finger of God shuts the door and they're inundated with the deluge. It was business as usual, mocking and scoffing, even though person after person had come to warn Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding regions. It was way bigger than just Sodom and Gomorrah. And then in an instant, it's done, never to be inhabited again in a single day and a single hour. And it says, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Layers, right? There's layers to both those words being spoken. But this is one component that we can't overlook. Steve?
Jamie, wait a second. Steve, okay, there's not a hubris bone in your body, I don't believe, okay? I mean, outside of, you know, but no. I mean, I look at you and I look at the righteous. What about the righteous men and women in the United States?
Here's what I want to introduce in. What Jamie is saying is people in their own mind, in their own strength, correct me at any point, Jamie, believing they can take on superior forces. I'm on record as saying I know the battles of the Old Testament. I know the battles of history. And the thing is that God is the only one that makes a difference, Doug, in his people's lives. I don't, go walking out without a pistol in certain situations or having, more bad. But I am always conscious of the fact that God is my protector. He's Jamie's protector. Jamie was protected for such a time as this. I think where your frustration comes in, Doug, and please, it's all everyone's frustration, is until you know that we have nothing in our own strength. And look, I'm not a pacifist. I have really a negative attitude towards pacifists. And also dumb south ends of donkeys, which, that's another story too. But what I think the more important issue is today is that it's like the people that never thought to trust Jesus for the vaccine, and they went out and got it just because an authority told them to. And that same authority is notorious for never telling the truth. So people believe there's somebody that's coming to the rescue. For instance, Jamie and I had a quick call, and you know the same story. The cartels have so many billions of dollars of weapons, they literally outgun and outman the National Guard in the United States of America at this point.
That's true. Yep.
They have bought a lot of U.S. stuff on the black market. Black market weaponry is huge money, and yet there's this, I guess it'd call implied arrogance, that we sent out all these missionaries. No, what we've sent out, we've exported. In essence, we've bewitched the entire world with our potions, our sorceries, and pornography. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I talk about pornography. I'm talking about fallen angel seduction of humanity through its music, through its arts, through its libraries, through its drag queens. And if Christians don't know that resisting evil is a commandment of the living God, then I believe that what we think may be a remnant, and I don't know, Jamie, the number, God only knows it, but I think it's less and less and less every day.
The remnant. Yeah, that's interesting, Steve. I talk about the remnant regularly because I remember reading an article, this was year, maybe a decade ago, but it was speaking about what historically is considered a remnant. And so the word picture was the textile factories of the Industrial Revolution, right? Like it was these huge textile factories, basically slave workers working 16, 18 hours a day and just grinding out textiles. And there's fuzz and there's dust everywhere flying in the flying in the air all day long. You know, we would always have those massive fires where there'd be 100 people that would die in a fire in some textile factory in New York or Chicago or whatever. And so it said that what was historically considered a remnant was at the end of the workday, in a small little 4-hour window before they started ramping up things again, is they would clean these textile factories, which you can imagine the mess by the end of a day. And what they considered a remnant was the last dust bunny that would be in the corner of the textile factory after everything was cleaned out, though it was filled to the brim with fibers and debris and strings and all that kind of stuff. That's what they considered a remnant. So when we talk about a remnant, I think it's smaller than what anybody could possibly realize. So let me get back to Doug's question about the righteous. You're absolutely correct, Doug. It is the righteous. It's those who know their God that will be strong, not in their own strength, be strong through the Lord, back to the glory of the Lord, and they'll go forth and do exploits, or as the word translates, daring feats of valor. Here's what's unique about that promise. It has nothing to do with your estate in life, and it has nothing to do with your past failings in life. It's those who know their God. Like King David, he knew his God. He knew, though he was an adulterer, a murderer, and arrogant at times beyond comprehension, he knew when he was forgiven, it was full. And he said, think of the knowing of his God, where King David goes, deal with me according to my blamelessness, O Lord. Lord, deal with me according to my righteousness. Murder, adulter, arrogant, all these other attributes. No. He's like, no, in God, I'm forgiven. When he says my bloods were as scarlet, now he's made him white as snow. It's a done deal. Restore to me, oh God, the joy of my salvation. Renew a right spirit in me. I'm good to go. I'm moving that way. When my God says it, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. Same thing with our estate for life. Just like the Israelites, it says, and there was no lame who went out among them. They knew their God. Had nothing to do with your infirmities, your past failings, your current state of life. You don't have to be, the super handsome stud guy like me. Just kidding. I'm just messing around, right? Right? You don't have to be the super amazing guy like Jamie. No, it doesn't matter your skill set, your level, your intellect, your neo-Gnosticism about how I've studied all these things about the Torah. Like, none of that matters. It's not a knowing of you. And where you're at in life, it's the knowing of your God. And see, that's the central theme of the spirit of the end of the age for those who know their God. And a knowing presupposes an intimacy with your God that very few are walking in. In fact, that word knowing presupposes what is only can be experienced between a husband and a wife in the inner chambers of their bedroom. That intimate of a knowing. The two are one flesh. I know my God. Like a Joshua and a Caleb, two guys, two bros out of 2.5 million, depending on what you read, 2 million Israelites at the time, only two dudes knew their God when he said, hey, gents, listen up. The land's full of Nephilimic freak shows. Go take it. And they're like, aye, aye, sir, we're on it. Why? Because Joshua and Caleb knew that they were studs because they had this superhuman prowess. Are you kidding me? They had never even touched a sword. They were in slavery. They had no clue about military acumen. They had no use of metallurgy. They weren't allowed to. They had just come out of slavery. And they go, aye, aye, sir, I got it. Why? Because it's a little obscure verse in Exodus 33. And Moses would go out and administer to the camp. Or Moses would meet with the Lord as a man meets with his friend. And then he would go out and minister to the camp. But Joshua, his young aide, refused to leave the tent of meeting. Oh, man, people forget why he knew. How did he know when God said, go take the Nephilimic freak show land. I've delivered it into your hands. How did he go, aye, aye, sir? It was because all that time in the tent of meeting. It was all, he refused to stop communing with the Lord. He refused to leave his presence. He knew him intimately. He knew him in love and mercy and power and strength. He knew him as a creator. He knew him in justice and judgment and wrath. He knew to fear the Lord, but he knew to be endeared to the Lord. He knew his God. And guess what Joshua and Caleb did? They went out and in knowing of their God, they were strong. They had no strength of their own. They knew the strength of their God and they did daring feats of valor. That's why only two were allowed to enter the promised land. So going back to remnant, oh my goodness, talk about coming full circle. That's how small it is. And that's not to discourage anybody. That's not to take away your reward in heaven or anything through the propitiation of sins from the fullness of the covering of the blood of Christ that is sufficient for all these things if you'll just come under it. But it's to say that people don't understand what's going on. They're still member of the spirit of the age, faulty self-actualization. They still think somehow it's about them. It's about their preps. It's about their knowledge. It's about their striving. It's about their anxieties and dissipations. Somehow they still reduce it to always making it about them. And it will fail you. I guarantee you, it will fail you in the day of great trouble. It says that day will be like as if a man escaped a lion only to meet a bear, and then escaped a bear only to rest his hand against the wall and get bit by a snake. What it's saying is it's going to go boom, 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 boom. It ain't stopping once it starts. Just like a woman in the pains of labor, as soon as she experiences that first contraction, the delivery of that new life, of that new birth, is imminent. It cannot be reversed. No matter how many of these pharmaceutical pharmakia sorceries try to stop a woman's labor, when that first contraction starts, they only ever get closer and closer, more and more intense, and more painful, until finally the new life is birthed. And it's the same thing with what's going on right now.
Well, I think too, Doug and Jamie, one of the things that's so apparent is that we're at a time period unlike any other. Jesus put us into that context. But we're also at a church time period. Like, and when I say church, I'm talking called out ones, not the Catholic Church, the Lutheran Church, the Ecclesia, the Ecclesia. But the first century Christians were called, they were the followers of Jesus on the way. And ladies and gentlemen, we've got to get out of our own way to get on with God's way. And what Jamie's talking about is so critical, because one thing that is over and over and over, and you just echoed the point I made earlier, Jamie, that's critical. God fights on behalf of those who trust in him and trust with all our might. And I want to share something. I'm seeing more BS coming into the screen again, Q Anonymous 2, white hats, blue hats, pink hats, mankinis, they might as well throw those in too. Everything people will want to hope someone's coming to your rescue. You were permanently rescued from eternal damnation and a separation from God the minute you asked Jesus to become your Lord and Savior and then started living for him. But most people who are insecure in their walk with the Lord, it's because they still think someone's coming to save them. And quite candidly, ladies and gentlemen, he who's coming to save you saved you on the cross. And again, I want to put it in. I see no men of God in the Old Testament or New Testament that were meow mix partakers. Okay. All the men in the midst of thee are women. That's true. Meow. The battle cry is not meow, but the problem is separating. And I want to turn this over immediately to Jamie. It's separating, knowing that God will protect his own, but that the United States is finished. And I'm called everything. I'm saying, well, isn't it interesting? You call me someone who's a traitor to your country, yet you're a Democrat and you're embracing total communist takeover and takedown. Or you're a Republican looking for the second coming of the Trumpster, you know? And, or you're listening to the Republican nonsense of somehow we're going to have all these investigations. No investigations will amount to anything, because we just found out that everybody in the Justice Department, every agency in the Justice Department, everybody in the military is in bed, literally, with the Antichrist, with the literal fallen angels. And ladies and gentlemen, our safety, our trust in the 91st Psalm, it's on an individual basis. And I guess, Jamie, too, how have you overcome? Maybe you haven't, but if you have, tell everybody, including me, how do you get through to Christians that are, or just shake the dust off, that basically say, well, I just want to love Jesus and trust God? How do you?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. The bottom line is you can't. And so this is something that the Lord burdened me with a couple of years ago, even was the impetus for the book. You know, like I had no desire to write a book. I don't even read books. I read articles, right? So, so when the Lord said, Jamie, write what I give you to write, I'm like, write what? Write to who, Lord? You know, like having this wrestling thing, I just come back from the mission field in the Dominican Republic and got a peek behind the veil of the spirit of the age. I won't go into details about that because it's just too long. And so I'm going, write what, Lord? Write to who? Who would read it anyways? And this is actually a unique testimony between you and I personally, Steve, what the Lord did in that moment in time. But finally I said, he said, Jamie, feed my sheep. And I said, I hate your sheep. This is my literally response. I just came out of the mission field and it was because of all the Christian American missionaries I experienced. I said, I hate your sheep, God. And wow. He said, Jamie, I said, feed my sheep. And I said, Lord, your sheep don't want you. And he said, Jamie, I said, feed my sheep, but only those with ears to hear. And I go, oh, God. Okay, Lord, like I repent in dust and ashes. Like I've darkened your counsel with words without wisdom. And it was like, okay. So it was that moment in time and that open rebuke where the Lord freed me from this trying to drag people kicking and screaming into a kingdom reality they never wanted in the first place. That's why many, 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 circle it every time you see the word many in your Bible. Many will betray the faith and many will give heed to the doctrines of demons and many will say, Lord, Lord, many, many, many. It said, and the Lord was like, he freed me. He's like, you're trying to drag people kicking and screaming. They don't want me. I said, Jamie, this is how the Lord deals with me. I'm a hard-headed, you know, grunt door kicker. I said, those with ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. You are wasting your breath. And there are people out there with ears to hear. There are people out there whose hearts I have touched. There are like the warriors in the midst of Saul whose hearts the Lord had touched to be warriors. There are those who are languishing in the land. And blessed is the servant who is found giving the other servants their food at the proper time. Give them the food at the proper time, those with ears to hear. And so in answer to your question, I don't think you can. I don't think, because remember, the spirit of the age is not one of ignorance, it's one of delusion. I think we talked about that last week.
Yep, good point.
It's not one of ignorance, it is one of delusion. It's not one of just the powers of darkness are getting one over on them. No, they have willfully, it says they deliberately forget that the same God who judged the earth with a deluge is coming to do it again with fire. It's all very willful, strategic, and deliberate. Why? Because they are lovers of self. And they are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They have the form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. They're always learning, but they never come to an understanding of the truth, because the truth is the person and the deity of Christ Jesus, the Son of God, who came in flesh and died for your sins. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And that's what they don't want. You know, it's like even in Jeremiah 6, I think the Lord says, to whom can I go and give warning? Their ears are closed so they cannot hear. My word is offensive to them. Remember what it says, too, about the spirit of the age. They will not tolerate sound doctrine. Correct. They will tolerate everything. They'll tolerate anything to be relevant to the world around them because they are narcissists. The American church is full of narcissists. They love to be relevant to the world and they want the esteem of men and they have no regard for the esteem of the Lord because the Lord says, this is a man who I esteem, him who is humble and contrite and trembles at my word. And they go, I don't want your esteem, God. I want the esteem of the world. I'll be all things to all people. Where is this God of judgment? All the words of the prophets are just when they come to nothing, right? And the Lord says, listen, they will not tolerate sound doctrine. The way of truth will come into disrepute. And in fact, they do this perverse positive feedback loop. And instead, they devote themselves to the doctrines of demons instead. That's what they're going to do. And all the while, they're going to say, we're wealthy and in need of nothing. We're crushing it for Jesus and for God. Look at our satellite campuses. Look at our children ministries. Look at our numbers. Look at the books and the production of books that we're doing in our Christian bookstores and our media platforms. Look at what we're doing for you, God. And he's like, homie, I don't know if he says that. Sorry. He's like, you, bro, girl, whatever, fill in the blank. You've never asked me how I see you.
Exactly.
You've never asked me how I see you. Ask the Lord, how do you see me? And this can be to the positive. It could be you who's sitting alone right now, beloved, who's going to listen to this later on. You're like, I'm such a wretch. I'm so worthless. I have nothing to offer. I'm just a waste of space. I wish the Lord would just take me home. And it's like, don't you dare speak that over you, image bearer of Christ Jesus. Ask him, Lord, how do you see me? And you might be surprised what he says. But to the opposite side too, that those who are like, man, I'm crushing it pretty good. I mean, the fruit of the Spirit is friendliness. It's not, ladies and gents. That's not in the Bible. They've reduced the fruits of the Spirit of friendliness. I'm super friendly all the time. But they've never asked the Lord how they see him. And he might say, bro, you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and you're naked, and you're hot vomit in my mouth. I spit you out. So anyways, this is all central to the reality of the lateness of the hour, the lateness of the hour. In the judgment, I say this with confidence, and I don't care about the nasty grams that I constantly get in my emails. The judgment of the United States of America is certain and without any delay. Now, the Lord's definition of without any delay is different than ours. He said no more delay to Babylon and Assyria, and then it would be 40 years later, or 60 years later, 80 years later. I don't know what it is, but I'm telling you what, in my spirit, it resonates that it is at the door, the nearness of which would make you actually tear your clothes, put on sackcloth and ash, and be found weeping and for the sins of the city. And you would be like Lot, again, the days of Lot, who was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard in the city day and night.
Wow. Folks, if you like what you're hearing, two things. Okay, Steve Quayle has Q Files, intelligence briefings. Of course, subscribe there. And Jamie Walden, Omega Dynamics, one of the best books I've ever read. And yes, some of the questions, of course, I knew the answers to. But you know what? I find myself talking to people who don't. Omega Dynamics, that is omegadynamics.org, right, Jamie?
That's correct. Okay. .org. Yep.
Right. Okay. And of course, stevequayle.com. From there, you can get anywhere. Steve, go ahead, sir.
Well, I want to just draw everyone's attention too to private briefings, because the people that have been subscribed to it, it's a subscription service, one price, $149 for a year. I've got nothing but mind-blowing compliments, because when I say there's nothing else like it, that's not because, quote, feathers in my cap. The bottom line is because the people of God, who God has raised up to help us all to understand the world behind the veil that the enemy keeps covered from all of our eyes, there's just nothing else like it. For instance, the three-part series on artificial intelligence. And Doug, I've said on your show years ago, and I know, Jamie, you heard me, I was in the shower and the Lord said, Steve, have you ever thought that there's nothing artificial about an AI, but it's alien implants of an alien intelligence? Now, alien can mean, too, fallen angels. I'm not just talking about, you know, George Jetson or any cartoon or any even Hollywood thing. But here's what's important. There's no greater source of open source reality-based real-world intel than what we put into private briefings by the themes that the Lord releases to us. And all the years of the year, but the bottom line is only one guy ever, you know, complained. And he was a plant. And where all good plants go, he kicked his sorry behind into the behind pot and, you know, kicked him off. And I'm not trying to sound like a dictator, but what I am trying to say is this. When someone's life experiences like Jamie Walden comes on and tells you not what you want to hear, what you need to hear, when someone like Science Guy goes into massive depth from being, called on by all the world leaders during a certain time period before most of them tried to kill him after a certain time period, the bottom line is we're providing information that will save your life. And I want to say this, Doug, I want to thank you specifically for helping me with private briefings. And there's nothing else like it in the world. They can go on GENSIX.com, Gen6.com, and sign up. Yes, it's an infomercial, because here's what I want people to understand. If you don't have real-world intelligence, you're going to believe the nonsense. For instance, why did the entire U.S., if you will, air corridors, the civilian air market, just shut down across the country and then in Canada too? A little clue was that there were nuclear materials found in Heathrow. That was on the Daily Mail. But what you don't know and you can't know is yesterday was 1/11, and there was an orchestrated plan to do multiple 9/11s using contaminated radio cargo and baggage, that's the word I was looking for, with nuclear real U-235 and plutonium. And if you don't understand plutonium's half-life and day, now how can you know that? That would be in the news. Jamie, one of the things that makes me probably the most unsettled, okay, is the fact that people will only believe, and Christians, the party line, and the party line ends up in the Colosseum for the Christians or in the FEMA camps. Yeah. And ladies and gentlemen, there is no taking this back. And I've, you know this too. I think you said the Lord spoke this to you. If he didn't, he'd spoken it to a lot of people. You cannot pray for your country any longer. I will not hear you.
Yeah, and it's interesting. The Lord gave me that word, and I wrestled with it because I'm like, that couldn't be from the Lord. That couldn't be. Like we're supposed to intercede, right? Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. Love always, and it's like, that couldn't be from the Lord. And I said, and I remember getting that word too. This was probably 8 years ago. And I said, Lord, if that's from you, God, like, that's hard to receive. Like, I don't trust my own internal monologue, right? My heart's deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can trust it? And I said, if that's from you, Lord, like, then you would reprove it in your scripture. I had no context for where the scripture reference was. I heard it clear as day. Now I don't remember it now. And I think it's in Jeremiah, but it was like chapter, verse, you know, like very specific that I heard. And I'm like, come on, this is probably just my own thoughts too. And I flip it there, and no kidding, it says, do not pray for this people any longer. God spoke that to Jeremiah. I mean, it was so succinct. I'm like, oh God, okay, how do I do it? Like, what does that look like? But yeah, it's true, Steve. You know, and I think about just kind of shifting gears a little bit with even like this new Davos meeting, you know, this smacks of the consolidation of the world's elites and even the heads of the major Orthodox churches in Antarctica. You know, Steve, that I have a primary source, family members that were on Operation High Jump with Admiral Byrd. Shared that with you a couple of years ago. Kind of like a silly little National Treasure type movie, and at a cousin's house who I'd never met, who's a little bit older, and saw a thing sticking out of the corner, and I said, that looks like a military ribbon. Actually, that looks like a military ribbon from Antarctica expedition, Operation High Jump, and she was shocked. Like, nobody knows what that is. Nobody. And pulls out this thing. Sure enough, it was a citation for what was my great uncle, who was an OSS officer and chief geologist. So this was precursor to CIA, who was Admiral Byrd's right-hand man on Operation High Jump. She said, I have his journals in this shoebox full of 35 millimeter film that nobody's ever seen or developed. And I was like, oh my, I know exactly what that is, right? This is insane. This is like a once in a 10 million person chance. And I said, if you entrust me, I'll develop this film and develop the film and shared it with Steve, and film that had never been seen of setting up Americana 1 and America 2 camps down there, and pictures with Admiral Byrd and the fleet leaving from New Zealand and all this. Anyways, all that to say is that the reality of what's going on with Davos smacks of what was going on in Antarctica, I believe it's 2008-ish time frame with Obama and Krill and all these other heads and Kerry meeting down there. And it's because the marching orders are coming down. They're coming down from on high. And by on high, I mean the prince of the powers of the air. And the time is short. And all these things with the transhumanism and the AI mechanisms and the global governments and the centralization of religion and the return of the golden age of the gods and the Aquarian age, right, arriving on the scene. New Atlantean age, Sir Francis Bacon, Adam Weishaupt, all this stuff is going down in real time. So the things that at least we can get the listeners to concede to the tangible Russian Chinese invasion. Like, if you can't concede that, then how could you ever have the paradigm or your normalcy bias won't allow you to concede that the counterfeit omniscience and omnipresence of the B system and actually a counterfeit resurrection, which I think will be another forced vaccination through the blood of that guy instead of the blood of the lamb, a counterfeit death and resurrection, a counterfeit everything in Christ Jesus is already in place. They're just waiting. For what? For their restrainer to be removed. They're waiting. It's done. It's done. They have been able to do it through the dark arts and through the occultic practices and through the Canaanitic Phoenician mystery religions and mystery schools on the Kabbalism, through the counterfeit implementation of angel technologies and things like that, to have a complete utter counterfeit of God. So much so that all these space-based weapons platforms, and all this stuff and all their directory energy weapons, which I've talked to three guys in person, primary source that are working on directed energy weapons, say it's because their weapons are aimed skyward because they know what's coming from that is extraterrestrial, right? Beyond Earth. Don't let that word trip you up. It's beyond, it's extraterrestrial. That's foreign space bodies. That's also the King of Glory who rides out in justice and judgment to make war. And so there's a reality here and a lateness to the hour. I know, Steve, I know that you emphatically speak this to the listeners that they're just not wrapping their minds around. So it's like, at least we can reduce your reality to the tangible, like World War III, right? Like kinetic strikes, like dirty bombs coming into the U.S., like why the borders are open, why the asymmetric warfare is going on. Why were the Chinese and Russian involved in the GridX drills? You know, what was all this Jade Helm drills being run down in Texas and south of the border? What's going on? It's because we are the last linchpin that needs to be removed for a lot of other things to fall in place, like coming against Israel, the rebuilding of the third temple, so that the Antichrist himself can stand in that place and proclaim himself to be God. It's all being set up right now in real time.
And that's why, by the way, folks, and please, please do me a favor, a solid, and do this. Sign up for the private briefings, gen6.com. I'm telling you what, it's like a direct download. You will not regret your decision. I'm telling you, it is like talking to Steve one-on-one and him telling you exactly what's going on. And at the same time, you're hearing Jamie Walden. Look, this, like Steve said, yes, this is an infomercial, but time is short. So sign up now and for private briefings. But also, Jamie Walden's book is imperative. You will learn. The things I learned in this book, I could probably do. Jamie, I could probably have you on for like every day for a year. I'm serious. I mean, this goes in a number of different directions. I'll just leave it there. So there's my plug on both, and both are, in my view, a requirement. Look, you know what, folks? Look at this. Okay, put the camera on this. Look, I've got the fourth turning. I get this. Okay, I get the Tavistock Institute. I got that. I got the Bilderberger. I understand that. But what you need is the real time information, and that's what Steve and Jamie give you. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I think it's really important, ladies and gentlemen, because right before we went on the air together, anybody who attends Davos, especially like the Republican governor of Georgia, I'm on record as saying anybody going to Davos, remember, the World Economic Foundation are the haters of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are the deniers of the living God. They are at war with the kingdom of heaven. They want 250 million of you, my brothers and sisters in America and other places around the world. Watch. They want us dead. Anybody, I don't want to make this clear. It's time to go bottom line and go at least kinetic reasoning. They are agreeing to your mass murder, the murder of your children, the murder of your heritage, the murder of the living God. And when that little imp from hell, Yuval Harari, yeah, Yuval Noah Harari, when you see these men mocking their God, mocking Jesus, saying, we're going to wipe you guys off the face of the earth. We've already killed God. We're going to kill his body. Here's a word I want to share, Jamie, with you and Doug right now. It came to me last night, or night before, excuse me. Does the scoffery and mockery of Jesus stop with you and stop with me? In other words, I have no use, and I'm sorry, if we intend to be the light and salt of the earth, you know, and I told Jamie, I said, I wish I had your age right now. The bottom line is that where does the mockery, the scoffery, the sophistry, and ultimately the demise, where does it stop? And I'm telling you what, if some guy claims to be a pastor, I don't care if he's from the church of the local kitty box, okay? Or you know, he's got 8 million viewers on, what, Heretics Are Us. Where is Jesus? And Doug, that's a really important question to me. You know, Some of us are beginning chapters in your life. Some of us are in the last chapters of our life and maybe even the last pages. But by the grace of God, and that's a powerful question. Go ahead and respond to this, Jamie. Here's the question. Does the scoffery and mockery of Jesus stop with you and me? You know, I wrote it down. Kind of crummy handwriting, but I wrote it down. Because, again, does knowing the Lord as you do, and God bless you, brother, for sharing your heart, but does that not surprise you? Or not? That's not really the question I want to ask. What does it take to get anybody to stand up to run to meet Goliath, not run from Goliath? I love Gideon's army. I personally have never drunk water out of a brook or a stream by kneeling on all fours. You know, I'm always basically bringing my hand to my mouth, and I know where my pistol or my rifle is at every moment. But the bottom line is that that here's the thing. Jesus said he'd even forgive all manner of sin against him and the Father. But the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost goes on daily, goes on hourly on Christian TV. And at this point in this podcast, Jamie, your thoughts on that, the acceptance of that which claims to be Christian, I call them claimants, the acceptance and the quietness or the cowardice of not even caring that they're mocking the Son of God, mocking the King of Glory. I mean, you know.
Yeah, well, and the bottom line is that God will not be mocked. He is the true and better farmer and the ag specialist. Whatever you sow, you will reap. It's a unique attribute of seed. You can only reap exactly what you've sown. You always reap it in a different season than what it's sown, and you will reap 100-fold what has been sown. It's a unique attribute of seeds. And that's to the positive or to the negative. And God will not be mocked. If you sow according to the flesh, you're going to reap destruction. And that flesh can be a love of self. And again, we're not talking about losing salvation. By the way, I hate that word. You cannot lose your salvation. That would mean it's accidental. But like Esau and his birthright and Adam and Eve in the garden and Israel with the glory of God and Ichabod being written over your head, you can absolutely willingly forfeit it. You can't lose it. That would be accidental, but you can forfeit the presence of God in your life. And you know, the unique attribute of Gideon and his warriors is that the Lord literally put out the command that if you are complacent, are cowardice, are double-minded, are a lover of this world and the things of this world, go home and get off the stinking battlefield so you don't make your brother's hearts grow faint. Go home. Amen. He told him, go home. And you know what? It was the 300 who were so hypervigilant for the glory of God. That's why they were hypervigilant. That's why they pulled the water to their mouth, because their eyes were fixed, even in the rear with the gear, waiting and looking for the enemy so they could guard the glory of God, which was the nation of Israel. It was all about the glorification of God. And God says, those ones, their reward, they get to watch me work.
Steve,
that's what their reward is. They get to watch me work.
Steve, we only have about 2.5 minutes left of the show. I cannot believe where this time went. To you, sir.
Well, put up Eric, if you would, and I think we need to close this out because this is for everybody who's attending. Thank you, Eric, attending this. This is from Science Guy. He's saying, call all the people to prayer across your listening audience across the country that the governor of Georgia in specific will be stopped in his pathway to this evil. I know there's a specific evil. I cannot share it, but look at point two, that the faith of Christians of the state of Georgia gets super serious about the touching of souls in Georgia. that their faith in the Lord Jesus will grow, that they take seriously what Jesus said about the authority given to all Christians who have faith, even as small as a mustard seed, and I didn't know this, which can only be seen under a microscope. Thus, Jesus meant even small faith is how things begin, and rebukes Satan and the false narrative that I'm okay, only one person, the people will, with all the money, have the power. No. That is very serious, very bogus thinking that will get them sent to hell. In other words, the call is to proactive faith. And I would say expand the intercession against, use imprecatory prayer against all participants and occupants of Davos, because Davos is the devil's final marching orders for destroying us all.
I love you both. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. As a Christian man, I love you both. I think both of you are just absolutely right on target. And thank you, Jamie Walden, beyond, yeah. I mean, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. And Steve, thank you from the bottom of my heart for all you do. And again, folks, go to private briefings, get the private briefings, gen6.com, and Jamie Walden's book, Omega Dynamics. And do it today, please, please, please. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Thank you, Doug.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. Have a good day, folks.